Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for being here. I didn't see a ton of hands go up, so I'll just give you a quick background on Northwell Health. So we are the largest private employer in New York State, one of the largest providers of healthcare services across New York. We have 23 hospitals, 66,000 employees and growing, but predominantly based in New York. And if you are familiar with New York City, Lenox Hill Hospital on the Upper East Side is one of our flagship locations as well. So what we wanted to do today was talk to you about social media and content and how we're really doing A/B testing and using data to find our audiences where they are in the most critical places. So what we wanted to do is kind of level set, and we kind of call this slide, it's a little busy, there's a couple of things going on here, but it's really the health scare economy. And when we were starting to think of, you know, we needed to create a content experience, we wanted to create a blog or a digital storytelling experience, for lack of a better word, on there. And we knew we wanted social to be the driver of this content experience and the content that we were sharing. So we started to do a search and we said, what is currently out there, not only in the social media, on all the social media channels related to healthcare, but what is also out there on the internet? So on the left-hand side, we have Dr. Google over here. And could my cough be, and this is an actual search, it could be cancer, it could be pneumonia, it could be allergies, lung cancer, mold, bronchitis, all of these things. And that is what is currently out there if you search just for what does it mean to have a cough. And it's kind of scary. Then we have Gwyneth Paltrow. Everyone familiar with Goop? So we have a lot of celebrities who have now kind of jumped into the territory of being informers of healthcare information. Not too long ago, a few years back, you had Jenny McCarthy, the anti-vaccine movement that kind of took off and got a lot of credibility just based on her celebrity. Then over here, you have overly sanitized healthcare images. Who here works within healthcare? Great, a good amount of us. You know, this is not what it looks like in healthcare, as many of us know. This is not what it looks like to get a colonoscopy or to go in for a procedure, to do things. So we have a lot of overly sanitized images that really aren't telling the true story of healthcare. So what we really wanted to do was to create a content strategy that would help inform our social strategy, ultimately, because social would be the main driver of it. So what we found in our search, as you saw from the previous slide, is that even though there's more content and more information than ever, especially within the social space, there's actually more stress than ever. So more content or more social conversations doesn't mean it's helping. And as a healthcare organization, as I mentioned, we're one of the largest healthcare organizations in the country, we have a responsibility to put content out there that is relevant, that is meaningful, and is going to impact and ultimately help consumers. So what we decided to do when we were thinking about the content brand that we wanted to create and the digital storytelling experience that we wanted to create, we started thinking about specific moments that someone goes in for in their healthcare journey. So what are those routine things? Maybe it's getting a mammogram, maybe it's getting a colonoscopy, maybe you're going to be in the hospital for the first time because you're having a baby. You know, so we started to Google and look at what are some of those moments. So we took this first one, I'm getting a colonoscopy, because it was around March, which is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and we were looking to fill content and to test content before our storytelling experience was live.
So we wanted to see if we took a procedure like that, you're getting a colonoscopy, and we actually answered it authentically. So we tapped into one of our writers. Her name's Julie. When we were conceptualizing our content experience, she said, I want to be a part of it. And she said, I'm getting a colonoscopy and I want to write about it. And we were like, well, okay. But we didn't have the site up and running yet. So we turned to Medium to post it. And it was her first hand account of her experience. As you could see from the title, it was very real. It was very authentic. She didn't sugarcoat anything. And she put a lot of humor in there. So the guy next to me let out an enormous fart and check, please. And then she's decided, okay, I'm good to go relieve myself at home. So it was a very real, authentic, funny, humorous article we thought was just very different from what was out there from other healthcare organizations. So that was kind of the experiment that kind of started it all. And then we wanted to see, like, who else is interested in this type of content? Because we think it's hilarious, we think it's fun, we think it's good, but we also love Julie, but is there an audience for this? So we started to A/B test audiences for this piece of content. So we turned to Facebook, and we did an A/B test on women 30 to 45 versus women 45 to 65 plus. You know, an average person, the recommended age for a colonoscopy is 50, so we wanted to start, like, before then, after that, and see who reacted. We did a budget of $500. We split it evenly between the two audiences. And as you can see, it was the older audience that was much more highly engaged. And this was really exciting to see results like this because these are well below industry standard benchmarks, like our CPC rates, click-through rates, the relevancy score was also really solid. And another way we're measuring how we're reaching the right audience with the right content is like through the comments. Are the comments on topic? Are we starting a conversation and what people are saying? So we always look at the comments and put high value in those. Okay, so now we tested audiences. What else can we test before we, you know, launch this content site? So we were thinking of a series specifically called So You're dot, dot, dot. So you're getting a colonoscopy, you're getting a mammogram. This would be first person accounts of a certain specific like healthcare event in someone's life. So we wanted to see, does that copy really resonate? Does that more casual tone resonate with people? So we A-B tested again using Julie. This time Julie gets a mammogram. And target audience of women 35 to 65 plus. Most women are recommended to get a mammogram starting at 40, but some women have to start a little bit earlier, so we kind of wanted to test that age range. Small budget, $200. Test A, so you're getting a mammogram, what can you expect? Test B, they're not fun, but mammograms save lives, a little bit more of a serious tone. And what we found was the more casual speak resonated a little bit better, although not by much, but it did prove our point that I think this series is going to work. I think this will work for our site. And again, a lot more comments on topic. My personal favorite, never forget my first mammogram, my breast became flounder filet. So I'm just going to point that one out. It's my personal favorite of all the comments we've ever received. And obviously, the relevancy score is really solid. You know, you can get as high as a 10, but we were kind of like nailing it in terms of the content matching the audience. So it was really encouraging to see.
And even the CPC rates, like Christina mentioned, healthcare industry average for CPC is $1.32. We've had campaigns that go as low as 8 cents. Some you'll see here skew a little bit higher, but not much. And then click-through rate, which is something we really obviously want to measure, because are we sending people to our website or what is that ultimate call to action? Industry average is 0.83, and we've seen some as high as almost 7% on there. The other thing I wanted to point out with Julie, you know, Julie is someone great. She's one of our copywriters on our team. And she, when we were thinking about content and the storytelling experience, she jumped right in and said, well, I just happen to be getting all of these procedures and things going, and I'm happy to write about it. So from us, I know as everyone thinks about with smaller staffs or smaller budgets, like it was completely free. And where we put the money, in that case, you know, a $500 test, a $200 test was strictly into the paid social to really A-B test. So then we looked at imagery because we thought in addition to copy, images really matter. And when you saw one of those first slides that I showed, just with those overly sanitized stock images of people getting a colonoscopy and like, you know, giving a thumbs up basically, we wanted to look and test, you know, what does better? Is it stock? Is it a real patient in this case? And actually in this one, we were a little surprised because the winner, we tested 35 to 65, only a $200 test. So again, not a ton of money we're putting on here. And what we found actually was the stock image on the top had better results. Now, you could look at that image. It's a little bit more provocative. There's a lot of things I think. It doesn't look like typical stock. And one of the things when we created our content experience, we learned a lot from it, and it's called The Well, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in a second. But we realized that it can't be those overly sanitized images that you see on Google. It has to be artful stock, and it has to be a little bit more thoughtful and provocative. And if you go onto the site, you'll see we use a lot of stock. We actually use a site called Trunk. We try to stay away from Getty and Shutterstock and some of those other sites that are out there because we want the stock to be a little bit different and to be much more provocative. So I think in that case, that really resonated, and that's why stock did better. Because in a lot of cases, you would find that a real patient, in that case of Julie holding up the orange drink she was doing for prep in her colonoscopy, did really well anyway. And then, as Christina always mentioned, comments are critical to us. When we really started these experiments, we didn't have a ton of social engagement. Social was newer on our team. It had just come over. It kind of had a bunch of different hands within the organization. And this was really the first time that we were seeing engagement to these levels. And this is obviously just a sampling. But also, all the comments were germane to what we were writing about. It wasn't like we got a bunch of spammers or people who were on there sending different things. And in a lot of cases, people were talking about their own experiences. You know, if you go back to the colonoscopy article, it was how they were getting through their prep and what they were doing. And in this case, you know, tips and inspiration and kind of talking about their experiences getting a mastectomy. So
I also want to add, when we social came over to our team, we had to rethink it completely. We were doing a lot of talking to ourselves. So this content really allowed us to reach that consumer audience and not be so self-serving. And we really look at the comments, too, to see, are we starting conversations? Are people talking to each other? Is there conversations within conversations? Because that's really kind of where we want to be in the social space.
So we knew we were onto something just with some of the tests, again, with the engagement, with everything that we were seeing there. And we thought about, okay, now let's make this content experience, the well in particular, what we wanted to call it. How do we kind of hone in on that? And we said, if we take that moment strategy, and this was our take on personas. Does everyone have personas that they work with sometimes in their content? So yeah, you know, I think for us, sometimes we didn't want to have the persona of this is Mary, and Mary is a 32-year-old woman who does X, Y, Z. Because if we look at the chief medical officer of the home, and that is who we are always targeting, it could be someone anywhere from 25 to 54, if you kind of just look at who healthcare organizations typically target in a DMA, we realized that that person, that woman, is going through a lot. They're not only caring about themselves, they're taking care of their family, their children, their husbands in that case, or significant other. Then they're worrying about their parents or the grandparents and anyone who is aging, you know, within their household or within their nuclear family. So we literally charted this out, and this is a day in the life. And this could be many of us in here, right? This is what we do, right? You could start in the morning, you're calling your mom, you're checking on her. Did she take her medication? You're Googling, how do you convince her to go to the doctor? You're trying to refill prescriptions on your lunch hour. You're trying to figure out dinner plans. Your son might have chicken pox. So then you're Googling, you know, what he should do. And then at the end, you're trying to do a YouTube workout, and like you're doing all of this stuff. So what we really wanted to do was to create a content experience that would reach women in this case, although we do target to men as well, that would reach that healthcare decision maker of the home in the moment where they are. And the way we broke down our chart is we did the should moments, the routine, the obsessive moments, and those extreme moments in healthcare. So as an example, those should moments are those things that are nagging in your head. I need to exercise. I need to eat better. Maybe I need to have one less cup of coffee in the morning because I'm trying to lower my caffeine intake. Those routine moments are those scheduled ones. You know, I'm 40. I need to get a mammogram. I'm 50. I need to get a colonoscopy. What are those things that kind of come in? Those obsessive moments are those water cooler moments that happen. Maybe it's the latest diet fad. Maybe it's a celebrity who gets diagnosed with a disease that then is all, you know, out there in the media cycle. And then obviously those extreme moments are those life-changing moments when healthcare becomes personal to you. Maybe you get a diagnosis or a loved one gets a diagnosis. And what we wanted to do was really partner with this consumer, no matter what moment they were on in their life, before, during, or after that healthcare event, and to be there with relevant content that ultimately would reduce their stress. Maybe it makes them laugh a little, have some brevity in the moment, but ultimately make them feel more confident and capable. Because as you saw from those earlier slides, when you Google and you see the increase of healthcare information out there, it's stressful, it's very alarming, or it's overly sanitized. If you go on WebMD, you have, you know, my cough could be, you know, pneumonia, or it could be cancer, all of these other things that don't really help quell any of that anxiety. So that was really the approach that we took. And then these are the series that we created for The Well. And we really started, I think, anytime you're creating any type of content experience, and for us, the content experience was crucial because we wanted it to drive social. Jay Baer, if everyone is familiar with him, always says, if content is fire, social is gasoline. So we really wanted to have strong content, and then we wanted to use social to really ignite it and spread the conversation, the stories, and the engagement that we were doing. So anytime you're creating an editorial experience, there's a lot to it. You have to always feed that beast, feed the machine, no different with social media. So the way that we set up our editorial operation within Northwell is we created series topics. And this was an easy way for us to start to fill and also to A/B test on social, what works, what resonates. So we had everything from a dear doctor, that typical Q&A advice column that we had with any one of our 15,000 experts and physicians, the So You're Getting A series, which was those first person accounts of someone going through a medical procedure or something else, a day in the life. This is a photo essay diary series, really beautiful imagery. We've done a day in the life of a NICU mom, everything that she is going through as her twin daughters are in the NICU, day in the life of a medical student, of a neurosurgeon, things like that. True Story, which is our take on patient stories, nutrition information, and just things like that. So that really helped inform our content. And as you saw from one of those earlier slides, testing this on Medium, which again was completely free, with Julie's colonoscopy article, really helped set the stage in particular for the So You're Getting A series. And just by doing those simple $200 tests on Facebook, we were able to determine pretty quickly, these series are resonating, we're going to get the engagement that we want, and ultimately the traffic to the site.
So now that we have the well, it's up and running, we wanted to use the content to find those niche audiences and map to those moments. So what's really important for us when we're talking about the chief medical officer of the home, we know that there is this sandwich generation of these women who are caring not just for their families, but for their aging parents. So we know that caregiver audience was really important, but we really weren't sure exactly how to find them. So we obviously did some testing on Facebook. So we had a great article from one of our writers who wrote about what it's like to care for her aging father. And we want to do an audience test. So we did women 35 to 45 against women 45 to 55, $200. And it was really that older audience that was really resonating. And we, you know, some of our stats here and our results, not as strong as like previous tests. But this article in particular, the comments here, and this is only a few of them, were really powerful. It was other women talking about going through the exact same thing in their life. And they actually were supporting each other and replying to each other's comments. So we really were getting a conversation started here in the social space. So then when we wanted to scale up, you know, we obviously had a bigger budget. We, for $2,000, we moved the age range a little bit higher. So now we went from 40 to 65 plus. And we had another great caregiving article, this one in particular speaking to the sandwich generation, where mothers were daughters who were taking care of everyone and were exhausted. And we saw great results there from scaling up. We also had a higher click-through rate and a lot of great comments. And you can even see on the post, like the engagements were pretty incredible. It was a lot of shares, a lot of comments. So this is a topic that's really important to us and our mission on the well, as well as starting those conversations in social. Breast cancer, that is also obviously a really big part of our content experience because of our target audience being women. But talking about breast cancer has been really interesting in the social space. It's kind of sometimes hard to resonate with an audience. So we did a lot of testing. Some of it we've already seen. Julie gets a mammogram. The woman had a preventative double mastectomy. So what we learned is that even though sometimes some women need to start getting a mammogram at 35, it's really not until 40 that women are really interested in the topic and they want more information on it. This time around, we wanted to target some interests. We went by women who like pages for breast cancer awareness. And with a budget of $200, we had a great piece from a woman named Jen Rosenbaum who was diagnosed with breast cancer. She wrote about her experience, A-B tests on the creative. We did a link preview versus a carousel. And we saw fantastic results here. So this time around, we think we really nailed that breast cancer audience and a lot of great comments. So when we wanted to, the main findings from this particular test and finding that breast cancer audience is that reaching that survivor audience is critical, that those are the ones who are really likely to engage. And starting the age target of 40 is much more effective. And then we felt much stronger about these results and starting that age range of 40.
And one thing I just wanted to mention about this, just coming from the opening keynote, just about influencer marketing. So Jen is someone that we actually came into contact with before the well even launched. And actually it was Julie, our writer, lived in the same community as Jen and through a Facebook moms group was able to see that she was a newly diagnosed woman with breast cancer, had two young children at home, and was starting to Facebook Live and share her experiences on Facebook about what it was like to be diagnosed with breast cancer, what it was like to ultimately make the decision to get a mastectomy, and then obviously reconstruction and everything else. So before our content experience was even launched, we reached out to Jen and said, hey, you know, we're Northwell Health, we're creating this content experience in a couple of months, and we would love to know if you would want to write for us or share your experience. Again, basically what you were already doing on your own, you know, Facebook channels, if you'd like to incorporate it into our content. And she was thrilled. So I think, you know, finding that right influencer, and in this case, she had, you know, tens of thousands of people who were looking at the content. She also was not our patient, which was interesting. She actually went to a competitor hospital, but we still featured her on our site because in this case, it was agnostic where she was getting treatment. And what we wanted her to write about was the feelings and the raw emotion of what she was going through being diagnosed with breast cancer. And to date, it is one of our most read articles on the site when we launched back in December.
So this was the small test, the $200 budget set, kind of sent those benchmarks. When we scaled up, we kept all of the targeting the same with a budget of $2,000. This time around, we did Jen's story part two. So we actually did a three-part series with her. Again, great results, higher click-through rate, and all of those comments that were on topic. So connecting with millennials, that's been something that's been really tricky for us at Northwell. I'm not sure it's the same for other people in healthcare, but I think the problem has always been we really didn't have the content that would resonate with them until we met Danielle, who's one of our freelance writers, and she said, you know, I want to write an article about being single in my 30s. And we were like, oh my God, this is great because this can really speak to our younger audience. And the article is relevant to healthcare because she goes into all of the options with preserving your fertility, you know, when your biological clock, you know, is going like this. Like, what can you do? Should you be freezing your eggs? At what age should you start? So we thought we had this great piece of content. So we targeted women, 25 to 38, single women, so those who are interested in dating sites, $200 budget, amazing cost per click rates, high click-through rate, and a strong relevancy score. But we also found that, you know, those stats were great, but where were all the comments? Like, at the most, they were limited to just people tagging other people. So we thought maybe this was a topic, like, women don't want to bring attention to in their feed by, like, commenting, liking, or sharing. You know, so we thought. So when we scaled up, we this time around added in the single relationship status and in the demographic. Same interest, $2,000 budget. We saw, again, great results. And then, as you can see, women really weren't shy about, you know, engaging with this post. So we saw a lot of great comments, women sharing what their responses typically are, commenting on the article, that it was a great read. So I thought we really nailed it there. So some key takeaways, kind of like what we reviewed here. Start small, learn big. You can start small with those really, like $200 tests if you want. Like, set your own benchmarks so that you know when you scale up what you should expect. Like, when you start spending more money, some of your numbers are going to go up. And that's fine, but they shouldn't go up by much, you know, so do that testing. Don't assume a broad audience. Really try to find that niche audience. Map to moments, like we've been talking about, you know, test before you invest. A lot of this, the small tests that we did in-house just so that we can better understand our advertising, but as well as our content that's resonating to help inform our content strategy as we moved along. And then some of the bigger tests, the bigger spends that we did with an agency. So we could say to them, you know, this is what we're expecting because this is what we tested and what was working. So the pressure was kind of on them to kind of meet those standards. And there's always more to learn. We do A-B testing for all of our Facebook ads we're doing. Always A-B testing something because there's always something to learn. The minute you stop testing and you think you know it is the minute you stop advancing as a marketer, because we don't really know why certain things take off in the social space, as opposed to other things. So you just always have to learn, whether it's creative, whether it's copy, whether it's headlines, whether it's audience, whatever it is, can continue to learn as much as possible about your target audience as well as your content.
And then we wanted to share, I think, just a quick video of the well, just because I think, you know, when we think about... Okay, awesome. Thank you. When we think about social media, I mean, at the end of the day, social media, it's not, your social posts are not going to do well if you don't have strong content that resonates. So for us, amplifying and creating the strategy to really find our audience was absolutely critical. But having that right content that speaks to that audience was also equally as critical, if not more. So we just wanted to kind of show you guys just a little bit of the well, since this is really what is seeding our social strategy at this point.
I was diagnosed with colon cancer just days after learning I was pregnant with my third child. I didn't know if I was going to live or die, and I was thinking about my unborn baby. I was in complete shock. It was such a blessing to see my baby still thriving despite having such a major and serious operation.
Expecting to deliver two babies. and he was leaving without his wife.
Happy to take any questions that anyone has.
Yeah, so we create all of those testimonials that are on there with our in-house videography team. So we feature those patient stories. We try to have like a different, you know, look and feel to them, and then we obviously put them on the site. We consent like we would any other patient or just anyone who we'd want to use to share their experience or story and put that out there.
But I think you're talking about specifically the comments that we use from Facebook. Yeah. No, because it's public facing, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, so it's basically like how long would we test for with the A-B testing. So our system kind of works is we do everything like two-week flights. So we're in the analytics every single day and see what's working. If we see something is really not working, we can kind of switch our strategy kind of quickly. But for the most part, we let things kind of play out for like a week. And then we will turn off with whatever is underperforming, especially if it's really underperforming. But if it's kind of almost the same, almost like an even split, we'll let it run for the entirety of the 2 weeks. But for the most part, it will turn certain tactics off after a week.
So both posts are live?
So all the A-B testing we do within Business Manager, we rely on the Facebook model to serve up the ad that's resonating better with. So the Facebook algorithm really does that for us. So the A-B testing usually happens within the ad, not the ad set, unless we're testing against the ad sets. In that case, yes, we'll let them run at the same time. The only thing we really worry about is audience overlap. But if you're testing two totally different audiences, you shouldn't have to worry about that.
On the photo side, no. And when you go to the well, you'll see, just from a photo standpoint, the aesthetic is very different. In the example of Jen Rosenbaum, the woman who was diagnosed with breast cancer, she gave us a lot of photos. We also took photos of her and followed her throughout her journey. And one of the photos that we took was her standing in the mirror looking at herself post-mastectomy. And you don't see images like that in healthcare. You don't see images like that, particularly for breast cancer, when all you usually see are the pink ribbons and the walks and everyone's a survivor and everyone's happy. And we really showed some really powerful images. And I remember being worried, and I remember sitting down, we both did, we sat down with our chief marketing officer to show him the site, to show him where we were, to show him even some of the stock photos that we were getting from this website trunk, which quite honestly were a little bit off of what our brand typically looks like. And we didn't know what he would say. And he might say, like, no, this does not look like our brand. We can't do this. This is too far. And he looked at, I remember, the picture of Jen. And he said, I love this because I have never seen this anywhere else. And it is so powerful. And that was the whole thing with the site. We wanted to create something that was real, like putting that human back in healthcare. Healthcare is one of the most personal experiences you're going to have. Like, consumers know better than to have those overly sanitized images. It's just not real and it doesn't resonate. So in that case, we didn't get a lot of pushback. And I would say photos are one of the strongest things that people will come to us immediately with. The content is super strong, but they'll say the photos really draw us in and are really powerful. Yeah, so the content team at Northwell as a whole, we are about 20 people. The social team is really Christina and Jenna, who's our social media community manager, who's sitting up here. So that is the social team. You know, so my team for content, we're broken up by, obviously, we have social media as a function. We have copywriters. We have four of them. Julie is one of them. We have photography, videography, someone who handles audience insights as an example. So we've kind of broken out almost into like a mini digital marketing shop, because when we think about content, it's changed so much that anytime you produce a piece of content,
you really have to, it has to be driven by data, and you have to start thinking about that audience and distribution almost first before you even start to develop, you know, what it is that you need.
Yeah, and I should say that that 20-person content team is serving the entire healthcare system. They're not just working on the well or social. They're working on many, many different projects.
So we're doing all of the content for northwell.edu, the clinical content, any brochures that are going out there, a lot of print ads, things that are happening in that space, and then photography and videography for the entire enterprise.
Yeah, so we post anywhere from like 2 to 4 pieces of content a week. We've actually, because we've built up quite a library in like less than a year, we've scaled back a little bit until the end of the year. We're reevaluating all of our content because once you do build up that library, you need to let it keep working for you. You know what I mean? There really is no need to keep pumping out all this new content, especially if the quality is going to suffer, because I think that's really where we want to be, where it's quality, not quantity. So there's so many things that you can repurpose and we can start doing testing different headlines, copy, images, and stuff. And so it always kind of looks fresh and new.
And because of just where organic reach is on social, if we're putting paid behind it, we want to have posts kind of be paid for a while. So the cadence that we post obviously can be much less just because we're having paid social kind of fill some of those gaps for us.
Organically, yes. In the paid space, it's mainly Facebook, sometimes Instagram. Instagram is a very important platform for us right now because that's where we can reach the younger audience. That's where they are. So, and they're very savvy social users. So we only want to serve them content that is like spot on, we think, for their demographic, and also very high quality images. So we've done some testing with the Instagram only campaigns. You know, we typically don't click the Instagram as an option when we're doing paid Facebook, just because sometimes it doesn't seamlessly translate into like a really good ad. So we try and do some Instagram-only ads. It's more expensive. Mm-hmm. Users are less likely to click off of Instagram to read an article, as we're learning. It's a little bit more expensive. But we've gotten it right a couple of times, we feel like. You know, our click-through rates, our CPC levels were around 50 cents, was kind of like the lowest, and then they've been a little bit higher. So it's been Instagram's been a tricky one. But we will say organically, Instagram stories, when we feel the content from the well that resonates with the younger audience, can do very well, and sometimes bring in even more organic traffic than organic Facebook. And we have like 75,000 followers on Facebook and only 8,000 followers on Instagram. So it just proves that like the Facebook algorithm, as the organic reach is less and less, Instagram stories is you know, a seamless swipe up feature, and people are more willing to swipe up than they are to click off Instagram onto your site, from what we've learned.
Yeah, so the question was, of our 23 hospitals, does everyone roll up into corporate? And essentially now, yes, everyone does roll up. There might still be marketing teams within some of those hospitals that are legacy, but now they all kind of report up into the marketing and comm structure. We have really, you know, strict, obviously, brand guides, you know, brand guidelines, voice guidelines, things like that, that they all feel. We also have, for some of the hospitals, again, not all, community managers who are based there, who are handling, in some cases, the specific accounts for Lenox Hill Hospital or, you know, Staten Island Hospital as another one of ours. But we have ownership and responsibility. A lot of those teams report into us now.
Yeah, and some, when we absorbed a hospital, we kind of inherited their social channels too. But not every hospital has their own social channels. We're really not adding more because, as we all know, how hard it is now in the organic space to even grow a following. So it's not really something we recommend. We just feel like a lot of them will be set up to fail. So we're really just trying to encourage the hospitals across the system to utilize the corporate brand and to work with us so we can amplify their needs.
Yeah. Yeah, so the moment mapping process, I would say, to create the strategy for the well, and keep in mind at the same time we were rethinking our social strategy and a lot of things, we spent pretty much like 9 to 12 months really thinking about what is happening in the content space and how could we be different, right? Because we could have set up a blog immediately. We could have went on WordPress, set something up really quickly like many others are doing, but we wanted to kind of find that white space and find where we could really make a difference. So that whole strategy, I would say, was upward of a year and really thinking about it. And that moment strategy, you know, in the day in the life of that chief healthcare decision maker was really our take on personas. I don't know if I'm fully a fan of personas. I go back and forth. It's like sometimes you get too tied into that one specific person, and personas bleed into different, you know, different decades and generations that we saw there. So that was our take on it.
Yeah, I would say we showed a lot of front-end metrics today. That's kind of because it's, you know, we're talking about Facebook and social. Those are good guides, but to us, what's most valuable is what's happening on the back end of the site. And we ultimately want the well to be a gateway to northwell.edu and get people invested in the health into our health system. So whether that ultimately leads to booking appointments, even attending an event, just getting familiar with Northwell, knowing what we're all about, how the breadth and depth of our services is the ultimate like return on investment. That's really where we want to be.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the well right now, we're at, it's not even a year old, we're at over 1 million page views at this point, 450,000 unique visitors who have been at the site, and we've been able to track appointments that people have made. The Dear Doctor one, for an example, there's a right rail CTA or at the bottom of the article that links back to northwell.edu. So if we're doing a Dear Doctor Q&A, we have examples that we can show of someone who like clicked on that bio, went to the website, hovered over the phone number on the mobile device, made an appointment. The other thing that we're also seeing, well visitors to northwell.edu, we're getting a lot of first-time people who are visiting northwell.edu. Mm-hmm. They're spending more time on the site than our average northwell.edu user, and they're consuming more pages on the site. So that's been a really positive trend. We also, on the back end, have a whole technology arm that is really equipping the well. So we have AI on the site and other things that really help create personalized content for the user as they're coming in, and that's really helped as well.